This recording, Netherlands 4, is copyright the International Dialects of English Archive. Comma Gets a Cure is copyright Douglas N. Onaroff, Jill McCullough, and Barbara Somerville.
Well, here's a story for you. Sarah Perry was a veterinary nurse who had been working daily at an old zoo in a deserted district of the territory, so she was very happy to start a new job at a superb private practice in North Square near the Duke Street Tower. That area was much nearer for her and more to her liking. Even so, on her first morning she felt stressed. She ate a bowl of porridge, checked herself in the mirror and washed her face in a hurry. Then she put on a plain yellow dress and a fleece jacket, picked up her kit and headed for work. When she got there was a woman with a goose waiting for her. The woman gave Sarah an official letter from the vet. The letter implied that the animal could be suffering from a rare form of foot and mouth disease, which was surprising because normally you would only expect to see it in a dog or a goat. Sarah was sentimental, so this made her feel sorry for the beautiful bird. Before long, that itchy goose began to strut around the office like a lunatic, which made an unsanitary mess. The goose's owner, Mary Harrison, kept calling, "Comma, Comma," which Sarah thought was an odd choice for a name. Comma was strong and huge, so it would take some force to trap her, but Sarah had a different idea. First, she tried gently stroking the goose's lower back with her palm, then singing a tune to her. Finally, she administered ether. Her efforts were not futile. In no time, the goose began to tire, so Sarah was able to hold on to Comma and gave her a relaxing bath. Once Sarah had managed to bath the goose, she wiped her off with a cloth and laid her on her right side. Then Sarah confirmed the vet's diagnosis. Almost immediately, she remembered an effective treatment that required her to measure out a lot of medicine. Sarah warned that this course of treatment might be expensive, either 5 or 6 times the cost of penicillin. "I can't imagine paying so much," but Mrs. Harrison, a millionaire lawyer, thought it was a fair price for a cure.
And when did you start learning English, Jan?
At the age of 12, so we in the Netherlands. It's when we go to secondary school, or high school, mm-hmm. I think. And now I'm telling this, it might have been even in the last class of primary school. There was a selected group of us who were thought to go to a specific kind of high school, and then I think, yeah, and then, but it's around my 12th year, yeah.
So how many years have you been speaking English altogether?
Since then. Mm-hmm. But...
So that's what, 20 years?
I'm now 45.
Okay, so 30 years.
Yeah. But originally I was far more into German, which was by coincidence in a way, because I studied theology and philosophy in Nijmegen. And that university was partly because it's close to the German border, but also because of most of my teachers, it was quite a lot of German language or German philosophers and theologists that I had to read, and I had a few German professors, and actually I like German language a lot, so I didn't work a lot on my English. It is only since the last 10 years or something that I concentrate or focused more on and worked a little bit more on. Partly because I started to perform myself. I was more like a director, and the last 10 years I focused more on telling my own stories. And we were invited a few times to come to Edinburgh and play around Europe, and then we decided let's not translate it in any kind, in different languages, but only in English. So I took some lessons then. And since then, and then I worked at DASARTS, which in Amsterdam, which is quite an internationally based or organized institution. So, and then I start liking it as well, of course. Together with your colleague Richard Murford, I was invited to mentor and in a way also direct a project, which the initiative had to do with the fact that Australia and the Netherlands celebrate 400 years of, well, relationships. It's a little bit exaggerated because it had to do with the fact that this small Dutch vessel called the Duifken ended up at the shores of Western Cape York 400 years ago, and it is said to be the first, at least documented, moment in which non-Australians started mapping this continent. And that was only found out recently, I think, because everyone always tells that Captain Cook discovered Australia. The two institutions, so Das Arts in Amsterdam and the Victorian College of the Arts, organized a collaboration project partly based on this historical event. So I've been here a few times over the past 2 years to prepare the project, and the last 3 months to mentor it, or try to mentor it, because it was quite a tough clash of cultures and backgrounds and disciplines. And but so that's what I've been doing, partly inspiring and challenging the participants, partly group dynamics, partly stress management, things like that.